Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, Tower of Terror is closed.
What?
It's closed. It's closed.
No.
In California, no. Yeah. It's closed.
Yeah, no. It's DCA's Tower of Terror. Don't say it, because we cover all the Disney parks, but we really kind of do Walt Disney World. So if you just say Tower is closed, that makes it sound like Tower at DHS is closed, and it's not.
It's closed, man.
The one that we know is going to be closed. Yeah, the final checkout, the do it in complete darkness, because we're... Wow, I hope that makes the edit. I hope
that... you didn't think I was going to do that.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I hope everybody gets to hear that. Yeah, so the doing it in complete darkness because we're breaking everything down while you're still in it is over with, and the next time we see it, it will be Mission Breakout. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, and it hopefully will stop looking like a grocery bag.
I don't know. I mean,
it looks awful.
Here's the thing, though. You've complained so many times about it's not going to look enough like a... If they just leave the grocery bag on it, that's definitely different than what it looked like as Tower of Terror, right?
The grocery bag looks way more different than what the concept art does. So what if they
just go like painted scrims, and they, you know, then it can even have like different themes. They can have a July 4th Mission Breakout. They can have an Easter Mission Breakout.
And the whole building, you know, kind of waves in the wind.
There you go. That's patriotic, man. That's patriotic right there. So yes, Tower of Terror is closed. And meanwhile, on the other side of the country, it looks like we might know when Avatar, Pandora, Blue People Land... Blue Man Group Land is going to open?
Yeah, we might.
Let's call that BMG Land.
BMG. Blue Man, yeah, okay. I guess we don't have to pay... We won't run a ground of any copyright issues if we just call it BMG.
That's right, just BMG. You guys all know what it means. BMG Land. But yeah, so apparently Disney has launched a 3 and 4 day Discover Disney ticket for Florida residents. And that ticket can be used between January 4th and June 9th. However, there is a blackout date from May 27th through the end of the ticket for Disney's Animal Kingdom. No blackout dates for any other park, but for some unknown reason, Magic Kingdom on May 27th, or excuse me, Animal Kingdom, the place that we would all expect there to be a blackout, there is no blackout. Animal Kingdom, May 27th, suddenly cannot be used with this ticket.
Well, and I thought I read somewhere that APs were getting blacked out or something. I don't know, maybe not, but...
I have not heard that, but I don't know. I mean, I know that APs, depending on the level of AP, you can have some blackouts, so that is possible, but I haven't read that. All that I've seen is that these discount tickets suddenly, you know, we all saw this, and, you know, pick your Disney News site, because everybody started covering this news, and Pandora is coming, or Avatar Land or BMG Land is coming potentially on May 27th.
I mean, that if you don't even have to be particularly good at reading the tea leaves for that to kind of stick out to you, you know?
Yes, that Animal Kingdom is suddenly going to be popular enough that it doesn't, that it needs to be blacked out.
The park that they have trouble, you know, keeping full and popular and stuff, is all of a sudden blacked out from a promotional ticket thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So 4 months from now, Pandora's going to be open.
And Bio Reconstruct on Twitter, whatever that guy does, I want his life, because he will just get up in a helicopter and take a bunch of photos, and he's taken some photos of construction of the floating islands and stuff in Animal Kingdom, and it all looks really good. It looks really nice.
Yeah, between helicopter photos and just photos that we've seen, that, you know, of what you can see over the walls.
Yeah, poking your camera up over the wall and stuff.
Yeah, or just standing in Animal Kingdom at this point, because, you know, it's they've gone they've been vertical for a long time. You can tell it's getting there. So, you know, I'm excited that, you know, it's potentially 4 months away. And I know the thing about that, though, is by saying that the blackout is May 27th, even though they haven't announced a date, they've kind of announced a date, right?
Right.
But do they not feel confident enough in that date? Is that why they haven't actually just told us that's what it's for?
Well, I feel like if they announce that date, then like regular people might put together that it's blacked out for that reason and people would not buy that ticket package. I don't know.
So this is something that's for Florida residents. So are we all supposed to infer from that according to Jeremy, Floridians are not regular people?
You just
totally offended a bunch of Floridians. Great. There goes our, you know what? I'm going to look on the little map of where people are listening from, and Florida is just going to go blank for
our
next
whole Florida
week.
Florida fan base.
Yes, you just killed our Florida fan base. I hope you are proud of yourself.
I just mean that I think it might be a little bit stupid for them to announce this ticket package and then also announce that, you know, this brand new cool thing is opening in the park on the same day that you're magically blacked out from that park.
So buy this ticket package, but don't expect to be able to, but
do
the
cool new thing.
Yeah, but why not make that extremely evident instead of saying buy this new ticket package and, by the way, you're blacked out. I'm looking over there. You know, like,
because it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah, and if you're not very apparent to people, you're going to have a lot of people asking for the refund when they find out that their tickets don't work, if they're not fully aware of that blackout date. And if they are, then they're making the assumption that Pandora is opening. So, yeah, I think they are shooting for the 27th, but they know that it's going to happen at the 27th or sometime thereafter, I think. Because,
well, but what if it doesn't? Like, what if they're just, what if the 27th is 2 weeks off? Then they're just blacking people out of Animal Kingdom for no reason.
Yeah, I think at that point you move the, you know, you announce, hey, as a service to all of you, if you want to use those tickets, you
beloved
know what?
Florida residents.
Yes, out of the goodness of our hearts, we're going to allow you to use those tickets for the next week and a half. But now on, you know, whatever date that at that point they've actually announced will be the official date, it's actually going to close up. But yeah, so basically we knew 2017 was right. was the date. We've been getting closer, and now we potentially have the date is May 27th. Which I don't know about you, but after seeing the the little video promo thing during the Christmas parade, I forget whatever they called it this year. I'm pretty pumped to see that. I don't know that. Gosh, now I got to decide if I'm going to buy a ticket to go to Walt Disney World just so I can go see BMG Land and then fight all the crowds though, because it's going to be blacked out for those discount tickets, but not for a lot of other people.
Right.
And that's where everybody's going to want to be.
Yeah, Disney has done a very good job of making me be excited about something that I, like, not only didn't care about, but was pretty adamantly against when it was announced.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Good on them.
I suggest that, you know, all of you go rewind back about, I don't know, 30 episodes or so. Somewhere back there, we've talked about this before, and both have just not cared at all that this land was coming. And been like, I didn't really care for the movie. And the thing is, I still don't really care for I mean, I don't.
Right.
That's not a dislike for the movie. It's just a meh-ness about the movie. And yet somehow I'm really pumped to see this new land suddenly about this movie that I really don't care that much about.
Well, and like the video and all the stuff they've released about it, it's so not the movie. You know, the land is based on the concept of the movie. Not the movie. You know, there's not going to be Navi walking around, you know, characters and stuff. And I think that's so smart. And that's the kind of thing that makes me excited about BMG Land.
Yeah, that's what you say for now. But eventually, there will be Navi walking around.
I hope not.
Yep, with their handlers. And yeah, it's going to happen. You know what?
You think they're going to do that hair thing out in front of guests?
They're
going to be, you know, they get their ponytails and put them together.
Oh my gosh, are we going to edit this episode now? Because I think you might. I don't know if iTunes will carry us if you start talking about their hair things.
Are we going to have to put an explicit tag on this one?
I think we might. I think we might. Uh-oh.
Okay, moving on. Did you see that awesome Disneyland commercial for Main Street Electrical Parade coming back?
No, I totally didn't see the... yes, I did.
Because I'm trying to segue out of that embarrassing thing I just did.
Yes, I did see the commercial for the Main Street Electrical Parade returning, which I think is totally awesome because I saw it on somebody's Twitter and then I saw it on YouTube. But what I love about on YouTube was that YouTube presented me with related videos, and in related videos was, yes, you know what this is, the Main Street Electrical Parade farewell season that they did back in the 90s when it was like, it's not coming back, so you better go see it while you can, unless you wait till 2017, and then it'll be back for
And then it's coming home.
That's right, it's coming home. But, you know, outside of that whole thing, I love that commercial. It's... like, I want to go watch it over and over again to try to pick up on all the stuff that is in that huge building.
I know. I want, like, a Blu-ray version of it that I can zoom in and pan around and, you know, see all the Easter eggs and stuff.
Yeah, because I'll add a link to the YouTube, or at least the current YouTube video, because Disney, I don't know, for whatever reason, has not decided to host this themselves. And the YouTube version that's on there, and you know what, if you're listening to the show a month later, maybe has been removed on copyright grounds and you'll have to go search for it yourself. But anyway, the current version on there is somebody recording it from their TV, I think, because it's kind of blurry a little bit. I mean, you can make out the big things, but yeah, you can't get really in there and see all the little Easter eggs that it looks like they've put into this building as they're showing all these classic attractions, classic characters, and whatnot. So yeah, I like that commercial though. It's something that makes me pumped for, and now admittedly, I've always enjoyed the Main Street Electrical Parade, so it's not super hard to get me pumped for that, but it gets me pumped for something that's been there before and is simply coming back.
Right.
It makes me go, that would be really cool to see, because it stokes that fire of nostalgia.
Yeah, and the ad is brilliant, because if you are a Disney super fan, you almost immediately know what it's an ad for. But if you're not, and you don't know all of the, you know, little nitpicky stuff about Disney, it'll take you a while to realize what that ad is, what they're actually advertising. And it's just, there's layers upon layers upon layers in there. And I love it. I think this is a type of advertising Disney needs to do much, much more of. It's like high on whimsy, high on fan service, just high on fun type stuff.
Just wait for the Mission Breakout commercial, man. It's gonna be awesome.
Did you see their uniforms? The Mission Breakout uniforms, since you brought it up, they look a lot like the bellhop uniforms. I mean, to me, they look like space bellhops.
So not only are they going to reuse the ride, but they're just going to dye all of the uniforms. Is that your idea of?
That's what it looks like to me. I mean, they just kind of, it looks like they took the bellhop uniforms and, like, you know, I don't know, made them look like Star Trek. And said, this is good.
Are you sure that what you saw was the actual uniform and not somebody just, like, pulling your leg?
I mean, as sure as I can be, though, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that was legit. The space bellhops thing is legit.
Space bellhops. Yeah. And I'm going to assume they're not actually called that. But at the same time, you're what? You're going through the collection, right? So
yeah.
I guess it's kind of museum-y, bellhop.
Right.
Close and not.
I mean, I can buy it, but it just added on to my, like, oh, really? It's seriously Tower of Terror.
Yes, here's the Tower of Terror Redux. And again, if you don't think it looks enough like it, just check out our uniforms. And you know what, at some point I'm going to see them and be like, those totally don't look like that, Jeremy. You're just trying to feed into your love of Tower of Terror. by seeing it in everything, including your, including the uniforms.
Yeah, I'm just bitter.
Yeah. So can we also talk about the Coca-Cola store? Because I want to talk about the Coca-Cola store.
Yes.
About the Beverly Revenge.
Oh, gosh. Yes. All right. Let's do it.
Yeah. Because you now and we should reiterate that we are located in Texas, which is very far away from Orlando. So neither of us have actually tried this.
No. But OK, so let me begin by saying that I don't hate the Beverly. I think the Beverly is really overrated as a terrible, terrible beverage. I don't think it tastes good, but I don't hate it as much as everybody's said it has, and as much as like the whatever the lore around it is. So I think the Beverly's Revenge, which is the alcoholic beverage that they've made from it, is probably going to be okay. But I really think Beverly's been overblown, and it's not that bad. There are worse drinks at the Coca-Cola store in Epcot.
What is a worse drink than Beverly at the Coca-Cola store in Epcot? Because you're the one who made that stipulation on there. Because I mean, yes, the drip water from your fridge probably tastes worse than Beverly, but it's also not distributed by a major soda manufacturer. So exactly which drink are you thinking about when you say that?
I could not say. I know that when Claire and I went and did the taste test, we saved the Beverly for last, and we went through all the drinks, and there were some that were way, way worse than when we got to the Beverly finally. And maybe my taste buds were just destroyed from drinking all the other things, and so the Beverly didn't taste bad because I couldn't actually taste it. But I would rank the Beverly more near the middle than the bottom, like give it a 4 out of 10 instead of a like 1 out of 10.
And you think that there are other things there that have a 1 out of 10?
I think there are, yes, worse things than Beverly.
Wow. Here's what I will say. I have never spit out Beverly. I drink it, every time that I go. And I think it's, a fun thing to go and do. I would never purchase a bottle of Beverly or anything else.
And I'm not saying I'm drinking a cup of Beverly and going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're saying that really hits the spot. Are you sipping on Beverly right now?
I am. Yes.
That's what I thought.
I have a case of it. But yeah. Dude, you add all this alcohol to anything, and it's going to taste just fine. You put enough rum in something, and it's going to be great.
Well, the after two or three, maybe, but you still have to drink the first one. But yeah, I don't know. I don't inherently have a problem with it. Because I can handle it in small doses, and even though I would imagine it makes up a huge chunk of the cocktail, at the end of the day, it's still a cocktail. It's not a lot of, it's not drinking a 20 ounce of straight Beverly.
Right.
And it's got what, gin and blood orange liqueur in it?
And gin is gonna drown out any other flavor, for me at least. I'm not a huge fan of gin.
But we're not talking about the gin. We're talking about the Beverly.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
This isn't a cocktail cast.
That's right. It's not the cocktail cast. It's the there's Beverly now available and being sold as a legitimized thing, and that is weird. But at the same time, I don't doubt that lots of people are going to get it. I mean, because here's the truth. I would go and get it.
Yeah.
Just for the novelty of it.
The Beverly is a character in and of itself at this point. I mean, there's so many people talking about it, and everybody knows about it, and it's just like it's a thing now. It's a living kind of just Disney thing. And so, I mean, if they can put an ounce of it into a cocktail and sell the cocktail for $12, why wouldn't they?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually $13, so it's a dollar more than that. But I'm still trying to figure out where you're getting I did find a random thing from 2013, so they could have changed again since then. But Fanta Pineapple, Veggie Beta, which is passion fruit and apricot, the Melon Frosty Fanta, Bebo, which is like juice drink, Sparberry, which is raspberry cream soda, Guarana Quat, maybe that's the one you're thinking is worse?
Could be.
And Inca Kola?
Maybe.
It's those and Beverly. And I just don't see any of those being... I'm still
what
shocked
is the
that
Beverly,
you're...
What is the Beverly flavor profile, like, written down?
The Beverly is with a popular non-alcoholic aperitif that is a traditional part of Italian refreshment culture. So says www.nt.com, and I will include the link in the show notes with all these other drinks. But it says right there it's got a bitter flavor. I just, again, recognize I will drink Beverly. I won't spit out Beverly. I don't hate Beverly. But I think you're kind of crazy to say that it's not the worst thing there.
Oh, man, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
I think we need to order all of these drinks so that you can, because you need to, or you're going to have to get a plane ticket and head down to Club Cool or whatever they're calling it now. I think, is it still Club Cool?
I think so.
Okay, so you're going to have to head down to Club Cool and go taste these again and tell me which one of these that you think is so much worse. Because
dude,
befuddles me.
Buy them, and I will come to your house, and we can record us drinking all of them, and we can see what the dealio is. We should do that.
If I can find a place to order all of these, that is going to happen, and we are going to figure out what it is that you think is worse than Beverly. And maybe you just need to be refreshed on what the flavor of Beverly is in comparison to all of these other things. And then, you know, maybe we can get some gin and blood orange liqueur.
Could
and,
be.
And make ourselves some Beverly's Revenge.
We may need it after all these Club Cool drinks.
Since Beverly is a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
We can cleanse our palates.
An aperitif.
That's right. We can cleanse our palates with gin because that is the most popular palate cleanser of all.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.